The world has been riveted by the spread of the coronavirus, but for seniors, it presents a special threat. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. As you move from your 60s into your 70s and beyond, the risk becomes greater. Researchers have found that the death rate from the virus jumps from 4% for those in their 60s to 8.6% for those in their 70s and 13.4% for those in their 80s. In addition, isolation can also take its toll as many seniors stay away from family, friends, and activity centers that once made up much of their interaction with the outside world. We first turn to Patty Tingle. She is the executive director of the Max Center in Salisbury. The name stands for Maintaining Active Citizens and provides various wellness, recreational, and fitness programs, as well as Meals on Wheels and a good deal more. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Don. We're happy to be here.
So how has the virus impacted you in terms of what you can do and can't do? Because I know that basically now there were a lot of seniors who came into the center. That is no more.
That's true. We've seen significant changes with the onset of COVID. Like many small businesses and other businesses throughout the area, our senior centers have ceased operations. Our Dementia Day program have stopped receiving participants. And we have shifted most of our support programs to telecommute or work from home platforms. The only operations that we have not moved out of the facility or stopped is our Meals on Wheels program. We do continue those, and we have seen a tremendous surge in requests for meals during this pandemic.
Now, I also understand that you've begun a care watch at MAC to try to reach out to seniors during this crisis. Tell me a little bit about the objects of that particular program.
So one of the things we know is that isolation is threatening to a person's health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. With that in mind, we know that checking on that senior and making sure those who are used to coming to our centers or others who may now feel extremely isolated as a result of COVID is very important. So we have undertaken we're essentially calling on a daily basis about 300 plus people just to see how they're doing, making sure that they are getting what they're needing, making sure that they're complying with their doctor's orders, because so many of our seniors are scared to leave their homes. They're scared to go to the grocery store. They're scared to go to their doctor's appointments. And they're scared to go to their pharmacies to get the medications that they need. So we are trying to find solutions and workarounds to make sure that everybody, if they have to stay at home, they stay healthy. And if they have to leave home, that they get proper transportation and feel safe in doing so.
What do you tell seniors who have that kind of fear? What kinds of things can they do to allay them?
Well, it's important to maintain those natural connections in your life. For those seniors who have family, you know, talk with your family, communicate with them on a daily basis if possible, weekly if not daily. And if your family is not available to you, making connections with neighbors and friends, people who have made those connections at our senior centers. We've encouraged, with permission, sharing of phone numbers and helping them to stay engaged that way.
What kind of impact does this kind of stress, do you think, have on seniors in particular?
It's a significant impact. We're seeing a rise in the number of depression-like symptoms, and we are able to respond with a special project that we have. It's entitled the PEARLS program, and we have counselors that will call individuals in on a more frequent basis than our Care Watch program to engage with that individual and help them through these depressive symptom-like onsets.
What kinds of things can a senior do to break up this isolation, this monotony, this fear that they are experiencing from being really cooped up?
Well, it's very much like what we see going on with the general population. The idea is to have your routine, to stay to your routine, to get up in the morning and get refreshed and get your breakfast and then engage in some stimulating activities in the morning to include exercise. And exercise can be as simple as walking about your home or your apartment, wherever you may live. It may be, if you have a pet, to take your pet for a walk, just like you always do. Stay with that routine. Call someone on the phone at a particular time of the day, and that someone may be someone different each day. But stay to a routine and have your normal life as close to possible as you can. Eat those meals. Take time to make those meals and make them attractive. Sit down away from the TV and have your food, as opposed to sitting in front of a TV and listening to more news about COVID. Engage in mind-stimulating activities, jigsaw puzzles, crossword puzzles, read books, listen to books on tape if you can get them. So stay involved, stay engaged, and you can dine with someone. Call them on the phone and share a meal while you're talking on the phone. Or if you happen to be tech-savvy, you can reach out with your smartphone and do FaceTime and share a meal. So lots of things that can be done, but staying active is most important.
What do you recommend, by the way, to family members who want to make sure that their loved ones, their elder ones, certainly have some kind of break from the isolation, but at the same time, they want to be careful not to bring potentially COVID into the homes of their loved ones?
And that's particularly true, Don. You make a good point, because we know that our seniors are the most at-risk population, and that's because of the fact that many of our seniors have compromised health already. So if that senior in your life is a health-compromised person, and what that means by health-compromised is if they have a medical condition such as diabetes, hypertension, if they've been undergoing treatment for cancer, be particularly cautious. Always wear a face mask if you're going to be in or around that person. Make sure to wash your hands regularly. Encourage that senior to do the same. Be cautious to stay away from that senior if that is possible, and regular contact by phone. If perhaps that family member is the only family member you have and that family member lives in California, this is where Matt can come in. So engage with us, and then we can help support the senior who lives here locally.
Now, turning to things like nursing homes, assisted living facilities, what do you recommend, particularly for family members who need to look after them, make sure that they are being taken care of and that there is not a problem with COVID? I know there have been reports really across the country, as well as on Delmarva, where COVID has shown up. Some senior centers, senior homes, living homes, nursing homes, has been devastating. What do you suggest to people who are looking after their loved ones and want to make sure that they're safe?
So first and foremost, put on your patient's hat. And by that I mean be patient, because this is a pandemic that has never been experienced before. This is a new undertaking for all of us, including our nursing home administrators and their staff. And everyone is doing their utmost to make sure that that senior, that loved one, is being well cared for, given the circumstances that we have. So there has been restrictions. There has been isolations required. We have seen this happen, but we can tell you that here on the Lower Eastern Shore, our nursing facilities, our nursing homes are doing a phenomenal job. Yes, COVID has been found to be in a couple of our facilities, and they're doing exemplary work to contain and confine those individuals who've been diagnosed with COVID. In the meantime, they're also doing the utmost they can to help their seniors stay in contact with their family members. Of course, if a family member is at all concerned, you know, we would suggest that they reach out to the nursing facility social worker and have a conversation with them. If the family member feels like the social worker or the nursing home is not responding to their needs, MAC operates what is called an ombudsman program. And this program is to help mediate those issues. So if you're hitting a brick wall with a nursing facility as far as your concerns or your questions, we'd encourage you to call MAC and speak with our ombudsman on this topic.
What do you say to a family if they hear, for instance, that there has been a couple of cases, for instance, in a nursing home, and they have their family member there? I mean, I'm sure the initial instinct would be, we got to pull them out, we got to get them away. What do you say to them?
Again, it's a step-by-step process. Start by communicating with the social worker. Find out what steps the nursing home has taken. We know that the governor has implemented a number of components to ensure nursing homes are responding and that they're responding appropriately. They've engaged with CDC representatives to make sure this is going well. But if the family has any concerns at all, start with that social worker, advance in inquiries up the management line, and then if you feel like you're hitting a brick wall, be sure to reach out to our ombudsman here at MAC.
As you look forward, I mean, there's a suggestion that this could go on for months, even as we ease some of the restrictions. And some people say that there could be a second wave, as certainly there was in 1918. In that particular case, it was even more severe than the initial one. So it could be that we're looking at months of this. How does a senior cope with the fact that there is this uncertainty as to whether or not they're going to have to be holed up for such a long time?
It's a challenge. It's an unprecedented challenge that we as a nation have not embraced in the past to the extent that we are embracing today. We must be cognizant of the fact that there is a new norm that is about to be embraced. The new norm may shift and change and take different tracks. But we have to think about, where is our comfort? What are the things that make us happy? What are the routines that we have that make us feel good? And if we are finding ourselves feeling blue, feeling challenged to sustain through the day with any sense of comfort, then that's when we have to reach out to others. And if in our communities and in our neighborhood any of our listeners have seniors, be sure to reach out to them. Call them on the phone, check on them, make sure that they're doing okay. But again, stay active, stay involved, stay engaged with your family and your friends to the best that you can. You know, we have seniors who are resilient, and they're doing a fabulous job right now. One of the things that we know is that the nation, because of this COVID stay-at-home order, is now beginning to experience what seniors have been experiencing for quite some time. So for some of our seniors, this is not new. But for many of our seniors who are still active and used to being away from home and engaged in many activities beyond home, this is new. And so we just say, establish your routine, good nutrition, reach out, stay engaged with your community. It's most important.
Finally, do you think that this is going to change the way we relate to one another, particularly seniors going forward, that the habits and the activities that we're now forced to pursue will persist into the future?
I think we'll see new definitions. We're now becoming more aware, more conscious about personal boundaries and personal space and limitations. We're thinking twice before we give one another a hug or shake a hand, So that is going to be in the forefront, at least for the next, speculatively, 12, 18, 24 months. It's going to stay in our minds for some time ahead. And we don't know what the future holds, how this will be overcome, whether it will shift and we look at a new type of virus, how COVID will take to the winter or the fall, and whether we'll see a full return. We can only speculate at this point, but we depend on the scientific evidence and those at CDC and the World Health Organization to help guide our thinking. In the world of MAC and in working with our seniors, we seriously consider all of these components in our planning, and we are planning to be here and be responsive to the needs of our seniors through each phase of this COVID pandemic.
We've been speaking with Patty Tingle. She is the executive director of the MAC Center here in Salisbury. It is a center that helps out the seniors in various programs, ranging from wellness programs, recreational activities, and even fitness programs, as well, of course, as Meals on Wheels. Appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Don. We've enjoyed the time together.
We now turn to Leslie Hughes, who has been on the board of directors for the MAC Center. She is in her late 70s and has been self-isolating for a number of weeks and also has been active in the community at large. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So what has it been like with the coronavirus and the fact that you've made a decision anyway to try to stay as much away as possible from all the interaction that you would normally have in good times?
Well, it's been a chore to find something to do other than clean and work in the yard. I have done some exercises with MAC online, and Rob has been very good at taking his time with us and giving us a lot to do.
So how do you spend your time? How do you break up what might be, for a lot of people, boredom?
Okay, I think I've cleaned every closet and every bureau drawer. I have worked and cut in the yard, raked, etc. I read a lot. I walk every day, and I exercise with Rob.
Why did you make the decision to self-isolate as much as you do?
Well, I don't think it was difficult with everything that's going around. I think it was just a wise thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of how you see this virus, I mean, is it something that you are fearful of, or what do your friends say about this
Our daughter is working in Caroline County as liaison between the virus and the news media, and she's kind of kept us well aware of what is going on and what we should be and shouldn't be doing. Also, as a young daughter, looking out for her parents.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of your friends, are they also self-isolating? What are they doing?
Yes. There's no question about that. We're doing a lot of talking with each other on the telephone and through internet.
And so what is it that, what are kinds of things do you then talk about? Do you talk about the things that you used to talk about, or are there new things that come up? What's that like?
Well, of course, the big topic is the virus and what we're hearing. And then we talk about how our age group are faring. And we kind of share if you need to contact someone, stay in touch with someone because they're lonely or so forth. I think one of the big things is talking with the people at church. They have a communication system where someone's checking on you all the time. So that's helpful.
How important is that connection with the church?
Very. Yeah. I think it's well, we have a very small service, the one that we go to, and they're all our age group for the most part. And it's been lonely for us because we did count on seeing each other every Sunday for an hour, and that we've missed that. We really have. So it's been very nice that we have someone to keep in touch with us, as well as the minister. We hear from him at least once a week.
How important, by the way, is that spiritual component? I mean, I know I talked to one person, an elderly person, she was in her 80s, I think it was, up in Delaware, and she had actually contracted the virus, had come down with it for about a few weeks, was in the hospital for about 7 or 8 days. And one of the things that she spoke about was the importance of that that spiritual experience. As a matter of fact, the first thing she did when she finally got out and was able to at least get around a little was to, you know, pay the tithes and to talk to the pastor. How important is that?
Well, different people have different feelings about it. We respect it very much and appreciate it. In fact, we had a Zoom meeting last week, which was fun, so we could see the people on the committee, and the minister was leading it, and it was good. It was in very nice contact, as well as our own private relation with God.
So, you have friends who are also in nursing homes, retirement homes, at all, and do you have any concern about them?
Very definitely. We feel isolated, and we have had a very active high school class that we keep in touch, have been keeping in touch with everyone for 60 years. And a couple of them have recently gone into nursing homes. And it's concerning that we can't go visit with them because it's an isolated situation to begin with. And at least they could have company. But now they're totally alone unless we do check with them. And we've done a lot of emailing back and forth, keeping up. We have one person who is in a nursing home or in a retirement village who sends newsletters out periodically, so we're able to keep up.
Have they also self-isolated, those people in the retirement homes, or do
no,
people?
The one that, yeah. They're very definitely isolated. I mean, that's the whole thing with the nursing home. They won't
right.
let you in.
And it won't let you visit, right, in person anyway, I guess it is.
Yeah.
So in terms of, say, getting food, that sort of thing, how do you maintain that as well?
Well, my husband goes out to the store once a week in mask, and like everyone else, I understand. I haven't been in the grocery store since this has started. And it's very nice to have him. He likes to get out, even though he limits where he's going to the grocery store and the drugstore and that sort of thing. So he's been doing all of that.
Are there any concerns that he could inadvertently bring this stuff back? I mean, every time I go to the grocery store, you know, I'm always kind of aware of where I am and all the people around me. Yeah. And then you kind of wonder whether or not you've touched something. Concerns? Does he take other precautions besides, say, for instance, the masks?
Not really. I think maybe we're too trusting. We're hoping that people that have it have self-isolated. We have a cousin that just got back from Florida, and she's had to self-isolate for 2 weeks. And fortunately, she's done first week. And trying to stay in touch with her, and her concern is the grocery store because, as I say, she's been gone all winter. So neighbors have been doing that for her. But I don't know. I haven't been there. I just get the reports.
Right. So you're sort of like trusting that things will be okay. I mean, you're not fearful. You're just sort of have faith, as it were.
Yes, that's it. Have faith that everyone is following the rules.
So are you concerned, by the way, about symptoms? I mean, obviously, some of the symptoms include fever, an insistent cough, shortness of breath, that kind of thing. Do those kinds of things stay in your mind as you move from day to day, just sort of a mental check that you're okay?
No.
No?
No, I don't. Because if I do, then you're expecting it. No, I walk 2 miles every day. When I go out and walk, I do not wear a mask when I'm walking because I'm outside. I don't see anyone to stop and talk to. If I do, I'm 6 feet away. And we don't dwell on the symptoms. We know what they are. Mm-hmm. And both of us had a cold before this started, the week before it started, so we figured we've had it.
By the way, do you watch the news a lot at all? Because the news obviously is dominated by this stuff. No? Yes?
My husband has it on all day.
I mean, some people say that's you know, checking in is fine, but, I mean, obsession is not really a good thing, particularly if you're alone.
Well, with checking in with the news, I go in the other room and read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we catch the local news at lunchtime and then in the evening. But he's, of course, following the stock market and one of the national news stations. So we're aware of it, but we're not worrying ourselves to death with it.
Right.
Is that what I should say?
No, that's fine. That's fine. And one of the things that's been suggested is that this could go on for quite some time, that we could have, for instance, a second wave in the fall, perhaps as we did in 1918, which was actually much more severe than what we're going through now. What about this thing if it just goes on for at least, could be as much as a year?
That's my concern. I think I worry about that more than where we are right now. The fact that we can't see family. We have a young great-grandson who's just moved back to the shore from Baltimore. And we can't, I mean, he isn't interested in FaceTime. He's too busy playing to talk to us. So he doesn't know us. And our daughter, they live up in Talbot County, and that kind of is lonely, very lonely. And we have a grandson in outside of Denver, and I worry about him. He's young,
mm-hmm.
and you know he. Anyway, we worry and think about the long-term effects. I think that's more concern. I can't imagine going out or not being able to be with a group of friends. Like I said, with our class, we have 3 luncheons a year, and we've had to miss the April one, and we usually have 60 to 75 people. And we miss that association. We really do.
Do you think that this has a tendency to, say, separate families, at least in the short term, but perhaps even in the long term? I mean, if this thing goes on and you still have to communicate at a distance, like you said, with your grandchildren?
Our grandchildren have been very good about calling us and checking in. And we spent a lot of time with them when they were younger. I think the ties are there, and I don't worry about losing contact with them. I just worry about not seeing them physically and being with them. And those hugs.
Yeah.
And smiles, you know. You miss that.
I mean, one of the things that has struck me is that that sense of touch that we like to have. I mean, not only with our familiars, but with people that we know. We shake hands and, you know, that kind of thing. And now it's absent. I mean, it seems very, very yes. strange to me. Is it strange to you?
Yes. Very. Well, we haven't seen them to hug them or shake hands.
Right, exactly.
But it is going to be strange because some of our friends are very affectionate in hugging. And well, we all are. And as we've celebrated birthdays, a small group of us with each person having a birthday, we go out for dinner. Well, that's all going to change. And as we get older, that's lonely.
So any final thoughts about the future here? I mean, are you just going to take it one day at a time?
Take one day at a time. That's it. The biggest thing was is we had to cancel a trip. And we, you know, you don't know whether to rebook it. And that was to be our big birthday present this year. And that was probably the most devastating thing along with the worry of what's going on. And it was after, you know, it was all paid for and we were supposed to have gone the week after everyone was isolated. So
where are you going to go?
we were on our way to Amsterdam to the Tulip Festival.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, maybe next year, right?
But you know, we have to think about our age.
Well, there's that too. There is that too. And I'm getting in that direction, so I'm not too far behind here. Well, we've been speaking with Leslie Hughes. She has been on the board of directors, the Max Center, in her late 70s and has been self-isolating, talking about what it is like to be self-isolated. Early in the program, we had Patty Tingle. She's the executive director of the Max Center in Salisbury. And Leslie, appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you, and stay safe and healthy, and God bless.
This has been Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush. Thanks for listening.